At this time on Wednesdays, we have Marty Hawk with us from the county. Marty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Well, I'll tell you what, I love that bright yellow thing that you see coming up. It's a mood elevator. It makes everyone feel so much better.
Well, so do the temperatures, too. And I know you have a yard that you do some nice landscaping in. So, you know, I get bothered about what's going to happen to the plants and flowers with this warm, cold kind of thing. So
right. I ordered all that mulch, and then it snowed on it and it rained on it. I thought it never would get out in the flower beds, but it's now all distributed, and it was a lot of it. But sure did leave a big old stain in the middle of my driveway because it sat there for so long. So I'm ready for this spring, and so many of my friends are. But, you know, you have to be real patient. Just don't put any of your plants out that you can't just drag right back in the house.
Hey, Marty, before we get started on some of the things that I know you've got to talk about, I got my tax thing from the county, and I got a question.
Your Form 11?
I don't know what it's called. It's had the pink stripe on it on the outside, and it's telling me what my proposed taxes are going to be on the house.
Your proposed values?
Yeah. Right.
Okay, that's your Form 11. Okay, go ahead and ask the
question. Here's my problem: is it shows what it was last year on improvements, and what the improvements gone up this year. I haven't done anything to my house. Why is the cost going up for improvements?
Okay. Now, remember, you only have so much time to respond to that.
Okay. But see, I don't want to protest until I know what it means.
Right, and the improvements, of course, that's not the ground. That's the buildings on top of the ground. That is tied to not just your particular house, but the housing in an area around you.
Right.
And did the prices of those homes, did the market, remember, we're going supposedly by market value.
Right.
If those prices of those homes went up in that time period before they sent us out, then that means that assessed value improvement went up.
Well, I understand that because on the letter I got, it says value, and that's gone up because I assumed that meant that houses around me are selling for higher prices. That one I understood. It's the improvements. I haven't painted. I haven't added anything. Nothing's been done to the house.
Right, and I understand that. That's the reason why I think a lot of people have that same question. Because if you haven't added on or you haven't, you know, done a lot of new things, you think, well, I haven't improved my property.
Right.
But improvements only means this is the value of how much the increase is of your house.
Okay.
Of the value. That's what improvement means. See, when you look at it, you think, oh, that means what have I done to improve my particular house. That's not what it means.
What do you recommend people do? Like me, I don't know that it makes any difference that I would say, hey, could you take a hard look at this and see if it really needs to go up that much?
Well, if you think it went up, you know, considerable, then you might want to take a look at what real estate is sold for in your neighborhood and the neighborhoods around you. And if you see that those prices of homes that are very similar have all gone up maybe 5% or whatever, and if that's how much they increased yours, that's probably what they, you know, what the numbers are that they used. However, you certainly can go in and say, could you explain this to me?
Okay.
And then you could protest it, but I'm certainly would want you to ask for an explanation first, because it may be something you'll say, yes, now I understand this. But remember, if you would say you had a problem with it, it is a problem with the total amount. You can't say I have a problem with just the improvements or just the ground. It's only the total that you can go in and say I formally am saying I don't agree.
Kind of
with
kiddingly, I need a new roof, and I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, they would take the value down a little bit because I need a new roof.
I know. I thought the same thing. I mean, of course, I know that's not the way it works, but I'm thinking, boy, I could make a list of all the things in this house that I would like to have done so that it is top-notch with some of these others that have sold recently that have the new roofs and so forth.
By the way, the housing area where I live sends out a thing on a monthly basis that shows the houses in the division I'm part of, what the asking price was and what the sales price was. And it's pretty consistent. They're pretty much selling within $1,000 or $2,000 of what they were asking. Occasionally, something goes for higher than they were asking. But, I mean, we get a fair shot at, you know, housing values are holding in our area. So, you know, but I just was wondering about that. Let me change the subject.
You've already been receiving the information then through your neighborhood association.
Well, I have an idea. I think it is a good idea to know what houses are selling for where you are. So we get that. Hey,
I can tell you the house across the street from me was listed, and it had 35 back-to-back showings and several offers.
Wow.
That's how short the housing stock is on the west side of this community. Now, I concentrate a little more on real estate on the west side, and so I follow that perhaps a bit closer. But I'm telling you, it is difficult to find homes, let's say, under $200,000 in this area. I'm just hoping that there'll be that's part of what Cooks had talked about when they were talking about their new plant, and they're hoping that there'll be more housing starts or housing available. And it's really clear when you've got 35 back-to-back showings, I couldn't even get my buyer in there in time.
Let me ask you a question on that, because yesterday I was interviewed as part of the Urban Land Institute that's looking at proposals. They're going to give the city proposals on what they might do with the old hospital property. And I understand that's the city. But one of the things that kept coming up was low-income housing, and we've got Cook, and we got Catalent, and we got all this other stuff. And part of the problem is finding houses that people that take jobs can afford to live in the county, let alone, the city. So does the county have any, horse in the race on the hospital property, or you're just kind of a bystander on all of that? But, you know, I mean, whatever they do is going to affect, and one of the things that keeps coming up is lower income housing and some kind of way of developing housing for people that can't afford $500,000 and can't afford $2,000 a month in rent.
Well, sometimes I think the local government tries to get involved with that, and they might not be the experts on what the different kind of financing is available and what kind of homes are available and which ones we have the shortage on. And so I hope that they will not try to rush to try to collect local taxes to make this happen, but just understand what the other methods are. For instance, there's a program, government program, but it's absolutely 100% paid by the buyer. It's called rural housing, and it's available outside of the city of Bloomington. There's certain areas that it can go in. So I think these things are things that can be worked out, but here's where I think the county does have a role to play in that, and that is all planning and zoning, and where will the new plan allow more housing starts and for families, so that there were, or individuals, you know, there's a lot of single folks, like you're one, I'm one, that they also need housing. So it's important that to the extent that that housing need is there, that that there's allowed growth for that. Now, here's what can happen. Is then that grows your whole assessed value. You know, that has to do with that Form 11 that you've got,
right,
showing how much your assessed value is. if you have more new halfling starts and that assessed value grows, and then what happens is that reduces the tax rate for everybody, and that's how it would help the Richland Bean Blossom School District if we had housing starts over there, because then our tax rate would be reduced.
Marty, let me ask you something on that, though. It's got to bother you, because I hear this, too, that we got people that are living in Greene County because they can't afford housing in Monroe County, because they work, though, in Monroe County. They just can't afford housing here.
Well, and a lot of that has to do with the house price range, because, of course, the ground here is expensive, and housing is expensive. But if a choice is to drive back and forth, then what can we do about that? As a matter of fact, we are a regional employer,
mm-hmm.
and so those folks who choose to live in other counties and drive here to work, if it ever gets to be a point where that hurts their lifestyle to be on the road all the time, or it's not economical for them to continue to do that, they might move here. But we have to have the housing starts for them.
Let me ask you this. You both do real estate, and you're also a county official. I've heard, and I don't know if this is true or not, that there's not a lot of land for housing. There's not a lot of land, even much for businesses. What's the truth of the matter? Is there land there? It just needs to be zoned differently, or what?
It has to be a situation where county planning and zoning will allow you to build, where there will be infrastructure there that the developers are willing to put in place so that it will work, and that there is infrastructure that they can connect to. So, of course, land is expensive, but if all of those things would come together, and first of all, you see what will the market bear, where is the market, where's the demand, where's the need, and then those people in the private sector will see that, and they will prepare something for the market to buy. It should all be driven by the need for it, and not build large apartments everywhere. Not everybody wants to live
no
in
more
an
of
apartment.
That. Really,
I mean,
no. Some of this stuff is looking like, in some of the places, Marty, I'll be honest with you, it's kind of ugly.
Well,
they're not attractive-looking buildings.
And are, different views of what's pretty and what isn't, but of course, my heart would not want to live in a lot of apartments, but then, some mm-hmm. people would not want to live in a house where they have to maintain a large yard. So,
right.
At any rate, part of what you'll be looking at as well is that you'll be receiving your property tax bill coming very soon from county government, so that you'll be all prepared to pay your spring taxes. Now, a lot of people who have a mortgage will have that included in their escrow account, the amount to pay those taxes. And if that's enough to pay it, that's great. And if there's not enough, well, you'll be receiving some kind of notice from your escrow company saying you've got to kick in some more money. So all of that should be happening. What a joy it is that everybody gets all these taxes to pay. Before we hang up, I would really like to run something by you very quickly.
Go ahead.
We did have a meeting on Monday night, because Tuesday night was the birthday party for the county. But, we have a real problem here in Monroe County, that we have so many children who, a lot of it because of this drug crisis, opioid crisis, that we have more and more children who need represented at court. And there's something called CASA, Court-Appointed Special Advocates. And there's more than 100 children waiting to have someone represent them, and because we need more volunteers.
Those people, by the way, Marty, are the absolute heroes who volunteer for CASA.
Right.
They're amazing
people. And what I want to run by you is that many people who might otherwise want to do this, but it takes a longer term commitment, and maybe they're not here year round, or maybe they have periods of time that they're busier with their work job, you know, with their job or something, so they cannot make that long term commitment. Well, now they have a new program that they need to have 35 volunteers for. That would not be a long-term commitment. And it's for a visitation kind of thing, and you can get more information on that. So I want to make sure I'm not projecting it and saying it wrong, but it's so that you can have people who could go out and speak with these over 100 children and families who are waiting on services to get some information to take back to the CASA headquarters so that the team can look at that and say, do we have some of these that have an urgent need that we have to immediately address so that there's not some kind of emergency setting out there that's not been addressed and that doesn't require a very long-term commitment. They could do it for a much shorter term, and go out and assist to get this moving again. And that number to call if you just want information on how that might work or what kind of training you would need, or I even suggested maybe they could work in teams if people are concerned about, not so comfortable about maybe going on their own, if they could team up with another one or something. So that was something that maybe they'll talk about. But the number to call to see about that is 333-2272. That number again is 333-2272. So if you really want to get involved in how you can help some of these children, this is just an excellent way to do it. It would not take a long-term commitment. You could get in there, maybe get your feet wet and say, hey, well, I would like to make a longer-term commitment.
Marty, I need to ask you another question, and I kind of need the Reader's Digest version of the answer. But Speaking about young people, from time to time it comes up, and it's not been in the news of late. What's the county doing about some kind of a juvenile, I don't know what you call it, facility? It's come up from time to time. There have even been land areas identified. Where are we on all of that?
Okay, I think you're talking about what some people call the juvenile jail or the juvenile detention center.
Right, whatever you call it.
We've walked away from that. I pushed hard not to have a detention center. I really felt like if we put our money into lockup, that's what we would do. If we put our emphasis onto treatment and counseling, that's what we would concentrate on. And I am thankful to say that, yes, indeed, that's where we have tried to make a difference here in Monroe County. And right now, with our youth shelter and the services through the Youth Services Bureau, they are considering at this point, they're putting plans together to add on to at the Morris Binkley building, which is our youth shelter.
At one time, were we sending people out of county?
Well, now, if you're talking about for treatment, and that is for very
not incarceration
treatment. If you're talking incarceration,
no, I'm not. I'm talking about help. What you were talking about,
right? And of course, that's what we have. We have a lot of treatment going on right now as far as counseling and so forth right here in Monroe County. But, of course, there will always be the need to send for extended treatment in some specialized treatment form, say at Daymar or some of these other facilities, that we were not going to be able to provide here. I know there were conversation about trying to do that, 10 years ago or something, and they started looking at the numbers, and they were including numbers of people that were going to Daymar that we were not going to be prepared to treat here.
Right.
So that whole program did not go through. It would not have worked. But what we have been able to do, and what Judge Galvin has worked so hard to do, is to make sure that to the extent that we can make a difference right here in this county and provide the extra counseling services and so forth right here in Monroe County, that we are doing that. And rather than sending kids out of the county for three or four nights stay or a couple of weeks, if they can stay in our shelter and receive some kind of counseling and oversight there for a bit, that's helpful too.
Okay.
So it really is working out, and I'm grateful for that. Now, there are those who want us to borrow money for this additional building they're putting on, but we have saved money back, and Judge Galvin has commented in a public meeting, there's no need to borrow, that we have the money now that's been set aside for youth services that we have available to do this. There are some who will still want to borrow it and just hang on to that money for something else, but I think that would be short-sighted, because we want the community to get behind doing what it is that we want to do there.
Marty, thank you very much. And by the way, and not you personally, but happy 200th.
Well, thank you. I think I've been there about 200 years from it. I do love Monroe County government, that is for sure. So we'll be talking with you next week.
You have a great one, Marty. Marty Hawk, thank you very much for being with us. And we really appreciate it. She checks in on Wednesdays and talks about what's going on in county government, and much appreciated.